I'm here in New York now, sitting down with Rob Judge and Golden Child. Introduce yourself, gentlemen.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I am Rob Judge with my man, Simon Golden Child, over here. We are dating instructors in New York. We do weekend programs. We do seminars. We're basically two guys that are just committed to getting laid, getting other guys laid. It's just enjoying life. Simon, you want to add anything to that?
No.
Okay, well, let me first start with the spiel. Where were you at before the community, and talk a little bit about your journey since then?
Sure, cool. All right, well, you know, it's funny. I kind of have more of the cliche community story, like where a lot of guys came from when I was growing up. You know, I had I guess a modicum of success with women, but nothing mind-blowing, probably like what an average guy would have. I was in two long-term relationships from when I was about 18 years old to when I was about 24 was when I got into this. And when I broke up with my second girlfriend, I just realized that I really didn't know how to approach a woman in a bar. I'd never done it before. I thought that cold approaching was almost like a myth, you know? I thought it was like an urban legend of sorts. I felt like maybe it happened in like movies. I didn't think real people went out and actually approached people in bars and actually hooked up with them. I just thought that, like, the only guys that did that were, like, cheesy, sleazy weirdos. So, for me, I had a lot of limiting beliefs about, you know, what was possible. And I kind of got into this starting out, you know, basically incorporating every kind of philosophy. I kind of field-tested everything, if you will. Went out a lot, just really, you know, try to incorporate as much as I could. For me, it really opened up a lot of possibilities, a lot of potential of what I could be, what the, you know, the kind of success with women I could have. And I just really committed myself to it. Really, you know, never took a break or anything from it. Just always just hammered it out, went out night after night. And after a while, you know, it just became so consistent where I could see, you know, really the girls that I was like super attracted to, girls that I would love to meet my girlfriend, and I could see them and most of the time get them. So for me, that's why I got into teaching now, is because I just love teaching guys that, you know, showing guys that this is possible. Because for me, with my mentors, it was really cool for them when they broke the glass ceiling for me, you know, to show me the kind of of what was possible in this. So I'm going to turn over to Simon. Simon has a little bit of a different story.
All right. Well, let's see. Yeah, I mean, I never really had girlfriends per se. You know, I had, before I got into this, you know, I definitely had plenty of girls in my life, you know, no real complaints. And I was at a party one time just about 2 years ago or so, and I was talking to a couple girls, and my friend came up to me and was like, ah, so you've been reading. I'm like, reading? Reading up on what? What are you talking about? And he's like, oh, on the game. I was like, you mean my game? Like, what is this, you know? And he was just like, oh, whatever. So we left, and he started, after the party, he told me about, like, you know, the game and the mystery method, whatever. And I was like, oh, it's cool that there's, like people are actually out there, you know, developing strategies to, like, get better at dating girls. I was like, that's pretty cool, actually. But, I mean, you know, then I just started hanging out with Rob. We just started going out a lot, just seeing what worked, what didn't work. And after about, what, 2 years or so, it's just, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Now, talking about ridiculous, I want to hear some story, like your best story that was like blew your reality, or was the craziest, ballsiest thing you ever did, or your craziest pull.
All right, craziest pull. So this is gonna be like, you want to tell a story about when I got laid one time. All right, I get interesting. All right, let's see here. Well, actually, about 2 weeks ago, I like this story because this is – I actually wrote this this field report up or LR up on my – on our forum. I was out with – actually, Golden wasn't out that night. It was actually Pythag and my boy Indeed. So three of us were out. We're having, like, you know, an all right night. Actually, I had been blown the fuck out by some fat, sloppy bitch at some other club, like just full blowout, you know, screaming, you know, just real ugly. So, but that actually was funny. That actually kind of pumped my state because it kind of just shook me up, you know, shook me out of like my comfort zone where I was just like, yeah, like, all right, like, you know, whatever. Like, I was just kind of like just brought me to life. So, So we're outside this really, really exclusive club. Actually, the club we went to yesterday, which, you know, it's just a really, really, it's like a mega club in New York. Very, very difficult to get into. Pythag thought he knew the door guy, so he's going to go up and talk to him. And as we're waiting in line, I see this girl walk out. And I mean, holy shit, you know. Brunette, like skinny, the tits, like everything. You know, just picture your definition of a hot-ass girl. But, all right, let me give you like a visual. She'd be like the kind of girl, like, almost like I could see her in like an alternative rock video, you know, like being like not like the total like bombshell, like hottie with like the bikini, but more of like just like the sexy ass chick who would be like the lead singer's girlfriend, you know, like that kind of look, like just. So we're on the street, and I ran up on her. You know, I looked at Mike. I kind of gave him, like, the what I call the chode beer commercial reaction, where I, like, slap Mike. My jaw drops to the floor, like, kind of like one of those cartoon characters, you know. Like, my, you know, the tongue rolls out. Like, the eyes pop out of my head. So I kind of chased her down the street, and I was like, hey, you know. I was like, blah, 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 whatever my opener was. You're adorable. I don't know, whatever. And she at first blew me off, was just like, I'm going home. And she would brush past me. And I was like, no, you can't go home yet. She's like, why can't I go home? I was like, because we haven't fallen in love. And, you know, she giggled a little bit. And she's like, no, you don't have a boyfriend. I'm not going to fall in love with you. I was like, this is so sad because, you know, when we get married, we're in marriage counseling. And, you know, for kids, we're going to tell them that we never fell in love. This is fucking ridiculous. So she's like giggling at this, but she's like, you know, I don't even know you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, okay. So everything you need to know about me, my favorite color is green. My favorite animal is a koala bear. I secretly like that song from Titanic by Celine Dion, you know, and I was like, oh, and she's like, oh, ha, 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 what do you do? And I told her what I did and it kind of intrigued her a little bit. But, at the same time, she started putting her hand up for a cab. And, you know, she's like, no, I'm going home and I have a boyfriend. Like, this isn't going to happen. But, I mean, this girl is so hot. I just had to keep bringing it. So I just kept spitting, you know, joking around, entertaining myself, expressing myself. You know, with really, at this point, like, I wasn't like, I have to get this girl. But I was just like, hey, I'm having fun in the moment, whatever. So eventually, you know, I said something, I guess, that piqued her interest. And she put her hand down. She said to me, she said, okay, I'll get one drink with you. But she's like, nothing's going to happen. I have a boyfriend. She's like, I think you're funny. She's like, we'll get a drink. And I knew that was like famous last words. So we walked down to this bar. And it was just great. Cause you know, this is like one of the success stories that I'm really proud of in the community. Cause not necessarily cause like, oh, I got laid by this hottie, which is like awesome. I mean, I'm not going to downplay that at all. Cause obviously this is why we do it. But what was really cool about that is that we went to this place. I really got to enjoy her. I really got to, like, get to know her. Almost, like, I almost felt like, you know, literally like falling in love. Like, I sat there across from this girl, you know, full eye contact. Not like a chode love where, like, I needed this girl or I needed anything from her. Just that, like, we just had this great conversation, you know, looking into each other's eyes, like, holding hands. And at one point, like, it was just obvious that we were going to have sex that night. And I remember she just looked at me and she said, like, I want to take you home. Like, I'm taking you home. And, you know, we got in a cab and it was great. And that, to me, is, like, what this is all about. Like, just seeing that girl on the street that just makes you, like, stop in your tracks. And she's like, oh my god, and literally being able to be in her bed, you know, a couple hours later. It's just that to me is like, you know, for me, I don't know, yeah. Success story. So I'm sure Simon has. Simon, you've been laid once or twice. Why don't you tell a story?
You know, I don't really kiss and tell like that. So I'm gonna give a different kind of story. How's that? Yeah. All right. So let's see. What kind of story? All right. Here's a funny story. So this is just. To demonstrate what's going on right now. I was walking down the street with my roommate, you know, just hanging out, talking, whatever. And there was this, you know, gorgeous girl in front of me. It was gorgeous, you know. Like, you see this girl, you know she's a model. Like, hair perfect, shoes, nails, oh, just everything. It was incredible. But I'm just walking behind her, and I could tell just from, like, the way she was walking in front of us, that she wanted to, like she wanted to talk to us, you know what I mean? Like, she heard us behind her, and she just heard that we were just joking around, like, having fun. So, like, even just the way she was walking, she hadn't even seen us at this point. So, I was just, like, kind of having fun with this, and I was like, all right, let's see if I can get this girl to talk to us without really doing anything, right? So, I just start being real loud about how, like, you know, we had just moved to the neighborhood and didn't have a spot for sushi yet. And just kept talking like an idiot. Just, oh, I wish there was sushi. Oh, we don't know a good sushi place. As we pass, like, literally, like, 8 different sushi spots, you know, like. So, finally, she, like, I see her just, like, get so frustrated, turn around and go, she gives me the name. She's like, Lemieux. And I was like, all right, cool. She's like, yeah. She's like, yeah, that's a good place. I was like, awesome. From there, hey, what's up? I'm Simon. Like, you know, let's just moved here, blah, blah, blah. Get to the end of the corner. I was like, listen, you need to give me your number. Like, you're awesome. Let's hang out. Like, let's make this happen. You know, like, whatever. She's like, oh, I would, but I can't. Like, I'm actually, I can't. And I'm like, what? Like, what is this? Like, give me your number. Are you kidding? Like, you like me. I like you. Like, why not? She's like, well, I'm kind of on the way to another date. But, okay. Yeah, I'll have drinks with you. And she's like, give me your phone. Number goes in. Met her out for drinks. Turned out to be awesome. Just awesome time. You know what I mean? Just like, so like, just what's possible is just so much better than running up to a bunch of random girls at the bar just asking them lame questions now. Like, you can honestly take this show anywhere, you know what I mean? And just, like, really, really live life hard now. It's fun.
Let's talk about that, because there's a, you know, there's a lot of school of thought in this community about doing routines, but you guys aren't about that. You're more about inner game. So, inner game, does it exist? Is it all just airy-fairy bullshit? How important is it? How do you generate inner game?
All right, that's kind of an in-depth question. It's kind of philosophical. But, you know, I agree with you that a lot of guys just say, oh, yeah, just get good inner game. That's all you need. That's just ridiculous advice, and no one can really make sense of that. But I do think you can take a guy and program his belief system. I mean, a lot of what holds guys back, what I always say, is literally their own fear. Like, learning how to manage your own emotions is what is going to take you to that next level. You know, I mean, think about it. For that newbie guy, what's holding him back? His approach anxiety. You know, he's not going to approach the girls. Even the guy that's at an intermediate level, what's holding him back from pulling the girls home? He's not going for it. He's not feeling congruent to doing it. So to me, you have to learn how to manage your emotions. And the way you do that, the reason you have emotions is your emotions respond to things that you value, okay? You know, think about it from an evolutionary perspective. The reason that you feel sad is because something you value is gone. Like, you know, the reason you get angry is like, you know, whatever. Like, but it all comes down to your values. So for guys to sit down and really realize what they value and then to reprogram their beliefs in a way that favors success, that's going to be, to me, is actually how you program a guy to have quote-unquote good inner game. You know, like, rather than just, you know, throw out the abstract and say, oh, yeah, just good inner game comes from a lot of interactions, which, yeah, I do agree that, you know, you have to do the interactions to solidify it, but at the same time, good inner game, you need, like, that guiding compass. You need that vision of where you want to be, of the things that are going to get you to that level where kind of what Simon and I were talking about with, you know, being able to walk up to that girl, not have to worry about what you say. Because, I mean, the thing is, I don't want to come off like I'm a hater on routines. Like, trust me, I tried routines. You know, I definitely think they have their place. For a newbie guy, they're great. You know, it's a great thing. Whatever gets guys out. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm, like, you know, the all-time, like, hater on routines. It's fine. But ultimately, it's got to be more than that. Cause what the fuck are you going to do? You're gonna do routines until you marry this chick? I mean, how long – when are the routines going to run out, you know? It's just absurd. It's such a temporary fix.
When is she going to find your big book of routines and realize the whole thing was a sham?
It's all a house of cards waiting to fall. So rather than that, like, why not, you know, like, and be honest with you, the routines, the quote unquote, like, the material I've seen guys bust out when they're like, you know, just fully expressive and they hit state and they're just awesome is so much better than any routine you could ever spit at a girl. Like, I guarantee you, every guy listening to this has, like, material inside them that is just fucking killer, like panty dropping material. All they got to do is access that asset inside them. So Simon, I'm gonna turn it over to you, because I know you have some interesting thoughts on this.
All right, when it comes to inner game, yeah, it's for real. Yeah, it's for real. But no, I mean, basically, here's the deal. Like, I look at it like, you know, like a machine, right? You're the machine. You can put it together with all the nice little pieces of outer game and lines and tactics and whatever. But, like, if you don't have the right, you know, the right energy to power the machine, fuel for the car, whatever, like, it's not going anywhere. You can't run a normal car on diesel. You know, you better go get that high test and make that shit run like it's a Formula One. You know, so, like, you get your inner game right, and anything else, the rest of it really doesn't matter. I mean, it's not as important as people think. You know, what you say is not nearly as important as who is saying it, the person that's, you know, saying it. I guarantee you, you know, if, like, Brad Pitt came up to a girl and, you know, just said what, like, something really retarded, it would be fine, because the dude's that fucking cool. So, I mean, while, you know, I can't teach people to be Brad Pitt, you know, like that, you know, that's what it is. You can take yourself and develop yourself into such a cool person for being uniquely yourself that it's just as if Brad Pitt was going up to these girls. You know what I mean? Like, to a certain extent.
So then I want to talk about how do you actually do that. I know a lot of guys get stuck in this trap of it's how they look. You guys are average looking at best.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's actually nice thing to say.
Thank you. You have tiny apartments, you're not millionaires, but you have the lifestyle that guys would drop dead for.
It's messy, too.
It's messy as hell in here. So, I mean, guys get stuck in these limiting beliefs thinking they can't do it. And so what is it, daily affirmations? How do you actually get yourself out of that swamp of chodliness and into this sort of lifestyle that they want?
All right, that's a really great question. That's a really great point because, you know, it took us a while to figure out because until we were able to figure that out, we would not teach guys because, you know, until we figured out exactly what it was that brought us to that level, you know, I'm not going to sit there and tell a guy I can teach him how to do this if I can't even figure it out myself. Right. But really what I found out, it's a combination of two things. It's a combination of logically figuring out what your values are and logically figuring out a framework for success that literally favors victory every time. It's not necessarily going to guarantee victory, but it favors victory. And then you take that. That's one aspect of it. And then you take the other aspect, which is just literally taking action. Literally going out and putting your fucking balls on the line. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, you go out to the club and you literally, you know, this is why we kind of are a little, you know, are not big fans of routines, is because the routines let you hide behind the routine and not put your fucking nuts on the chopping block. It's like, no. So when I walk up to a girl, I want her to reject me for me. Because I always like to walk away like a fucking man and know I went for it. So those are the two things. Because what it comes down to is like when you take action and you have these beliefs, the combination of them, it just – even if you get like blown off like, you know, 1,000 times, every time you get blown off, a little speck of like shit that's hiding your inner awesomeness falls away. And just like every time you take action – like you get closer to that core expressive self. What I was talking about before with, you know, how guys have this fucking panty dropping material, that's all inside you. And to get access to that, just by taking action, by literally, like, every time you don't want to do that approach, but you make yourself do it anyway, even if it fucking sucks, at least you took right action and you did the right thing. So like I said, so by figuring out what those affirmations are, what your belief systems are, by figuring out a framework that's going to favor victory every time, which is something like, again, like, you know, we'd like to go into it now, but it's a thing, you know, we cover off on our whole weekend program. But during the weekend program, we program in all these beliefs into the guys and then just make them go out and do it. And like I said, the combination of those two, you know, over a period of time, we'll get guys that success where, like you said, any guy could be living the lifestyle we're living, even though, you know, we're not like male models and we're not like, you know, driving around in Bentleys.
Yeah, enough said. I mean, I have nothing to add to that. That's solid.
Great. So intent. Let's talk about intent because this whole school of thought, you have to show disinterest and, you know, push. So how soon do you do it? Do you calibrate? Do you not calibrate the intent? You just plow?
Yeah, you calibrate everything. Why would you ever do something that, you know, was going to be weird? You know what I mean? That just goes back to old school, like, playground social dynamics, you know? Don't do something that's going to make everybody hate you. And, like, when you're meeting girls, don't do something that's going to make a girl not like you. It doesn't make sense, you know? But, I mean, intent. You got to show intent. Like, everyone says that. Like, of course. You know, when you're talking to a girl, if she doesn't think that you have any interest in having sex with her, she's not going to have any interest in having sex with you. You know, that's human nature. That's how it is. You know, I mean, it's not like you show it right at this point and then you don't show it at this point. Like, anytime you're interacting with a girl that you are interested in having sex with, you should probably be conveying some sort of intent for having sex with her at some point down the road. Done.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, they should know why you're there. You know, if you want to be there for a conversation, if you want to be there for a number, you know, that should be your intent. That, and you should make that known. But if you're there, you know, I think most guys, you know, they say they want sex to other guys, but when they come out, they don't want to admit it to themselves. They don't want to admit it to the girl. They want to, like, hide behind, again, and this comes back to that idea of not putting your nuts on the chopping block. You know, to walk up to a girl and to let her know that you're interested in her and that you want to get her in bed, you want to have sex with her, you know, that requires you putting your fucking nuts on the chopping block, you making your full intention known, and so ultimately, your full personality is on the line at that point. So if she rejects you, she's fully rejecting you. And it, and like I said, it takes a fucking man to be able to not only do that, but also to be able to endure a blowout like that. To be able to endure a girl, you know, saying no, like, I'm not interested. Because ultimately what she's saying is she's not interested in you, but it doesn't matter. I mean, like, I think it really doesn't matter. But at the same time, you know, that's why the intent is so important. That, like, you know, that you should know why you're there and why you're expressing it. But at the same time, too, I'm also not advocating that guys just, you know, like, you know, machine gun, you know, like whatever, like fire their intent all over the club and run up to girls and try to make out with them, you know, like be a fucking gentleman, like, you know, and
certainly.
Yeah,
like I said, all normal rules of social behavior, people say that they don't apply in like the game, quote unquote. When you're meeting women, you're still operating within reality, you know, like social norms apply. You just have to understand that they don't really have any real consequence on you at the end of the night if it doesn't go great. You know what I mean? If you make a little like faux pas, whatever, like your world is not going to crash down. You can't really be so concerned about, you know, tiptoeing, walking around on eggshells. But at the same time, you have to keep in mind that everyone else around you has a certain concept of reality, and they have a certain idea and understanding of how they see themselves fit into that reality. So you have to kind of tailor the way you act towards that, otherwise you're really not going to be making any progress. You know, if you're following routines, if you're doing tactics and following systems, how could you possibly really be understanding what is needed in the situation? You know, because it's really a moment-by-moment, you know, instant by instant thing that you need to respond to in turn, rather than having this, you know, battle plan and stories that you're gonna pull out at the right time. You know, it's just weird.
Yeah, and even at that, shit goes down very fast in your sets, right? Mm-hmm. So give us kind of a blow by blow for the first few minutes, like as far as escalation and intent.
Solid question.
All right, so blow by blow for me, like I said, I'll see that girl, and the first thing that comes to my head, for me, the approach starts before I even talk to the girl. The approach starts for me the minute I see the girl and how I react emotionally. And as long as I'm in a good mood, I'm feeling social, the way I'm going to initially feel is like, oh, this girl is hot, you know, and this is something I value, so I'm going to get excited. So when I walk up to her, I'm going to come up with that excitement, almost like that extension of that party. Like for me, I'm going to feel good inside my body because I'm going to see something. It'd almost be like seeing, I think you made a good analogy, it'd be like seeing a $100 bill on the floor. I'd be like, oh, this is going to be great. But at the same time, too, I'm also not going to jeopardize myself. I'm not going to come up, just because she's hot, you know, she looks good in, like, you know, like a cocktail dress, doesn't mean I'm going to come up and just give away all my power and just be like, oh my God, you're so hot, let me sniff your ass and follow you around the bar or whatever. No, I'm going to come up and be like, yo, look, you have something I value a lot, which is beauty. So, like, whatever. So I'm going to roll up on her and whatever. However I feel like doing it, whether it be direct or indirect, you know, I'm going to go, like, you know, someone else come up, hey, you're adorable, I had to meet you, which I like that line. It's actually a horrible line, but I like it because it's so fucking honest, you know? It's like, you know, you're adorable, which she is, and I just had to meet you, which I do. So in that sense, you know, it's total honesty. But sometimes I'll just fuck around. I'll say whatever I feel like. Sometimes I'll tell, you know, I'll make fun of the way a girl's dancing, joke around. Like I said, like for me, it's about me having fun. You know, I am out. It's not like I'm just going out, you know, just trying to, you know, trying to get laid. I mean, that's like 90% of what I'm doing, but there is a 10% where I'm trying to have fun too, you know, while I'm taking care of business. so then from there, like I said, like I'm not just gonna, like, you know, I want to get to know this girl. So I'll start asking her questions. Maybe not even so much questions. I'll start making statements the way I see her, because that creates a fun vibe. Because ultimately, that is what I want to do. I want to make it fun for both of us. Make it, you know, like I said, this girl could be my future wife. Like, I have no idea. So I want to make sure that right from the get-go, she knows exactly who I am, and I get to know exactly who she is. So I'm gonna be expressive. I'm going to be telling stories. I'm going to be joking around. But at the same time, also, that burning intent's always going to be there. I'm going to make sure that she knows how adorable she is, like how good she looks in that tight little cocktail dress. I'm going to blame her for making me walk across that room and having to talk to her. She's just so fucking cute, you know? And then from there, I'm going to try to start making out with her as soon as I feel like it, which is probably about 30 seconds. You know, and like I said, her reaction to that is pretty irrelevant. It's totally within her right to reject me. That's totally fine. Like, you know, she wants to turn her head. That's fine. But I want to make sure that, you know, it's known right up front that He's just loving this. He's just loving the guy. All right, give me the thumbs up. I guess Zach agrees. You know, and then from there, you know, she's not walking away. If I'm trying to make out with her and she's not walking away, she's interested. If she's going to walk away, it wasn't on from the beginning. Wasn't on from the get-go, and I'll find another girl. But if she's, you know, continuing to talk to me, I'm gonna keep, you know, trying to escalate on her as I want to. Because, again, I'm not going to jeopardize, you know, what I want to do and the way I live my life to appease someone else. You know, I'm not going to be rude. I'm going to be a gentleman the whole time. Like that's just like, you know, basic, you know, taken for granted. But
I just want to interject. There's nothing rude about trying to kiss a girl. It would actually be rude not to. It would just be rude not to.
Exactly. That's one of those empowering beliefs that Simon and I just, you know, embrace so much. And then from there, you know, like I said, like, well, I'll see how it goes. I'll see what the logistics are. Maybe I'll grab her number and hang out with her again. Or maybe, you know, usually I'll say to her, you know, let's get out of here. Let's go somewhere else. And that maybe I'll be back to my place. Maybe I'll be to another bar for a drink. But again, for me, it centers on, like, you know, we're pretty explicit about, you know, oh, yeah, we're these guys that go out and want to have sex. And in one respect, that's definitely, you know, obviously what you should be out there doing. You know, don't waste everyone's time. Like, you're a dude. Like, obviously, like, that's how, you know, you gotta procreate, like, whatever. It's like, it's a basic necessity. But at the same time, too, I don't wanna downplay the fact that I think it's great to get, you know, to have the ability to get to know someone, to be really put your personality on the line, and also to make them feel comfortable enough to put their personality on the line. So that's just as important as, you know, the physical escalation as well.
All right, I'm gonna give you a little more direct of an answer on that question. That was great. No, that was great. But I'm just gonna give you a quick breakdown. I would say there's three speeds. Number one is, you know, the, like, super slow, like, you know, you meet a girl, whatever reason, like, you know, you're just trying to, it's early in the night, you want to hang out with your friends, you want to hang out with hers, just be, like, super friendly, just, like, you know, like, girls will know that you like them, you know, like, that's intent right there, like, not hiding the fact, your true intentions, which are the fact that you want to get to know this girl, see if you guys like each other, and then see what happens, you know, by hiding that, you're not showing intent, by letting that just be, you know, honest within you, you're almost showing it in itself. You know what I mean? Like, especially when you interact with a girl. So, you know, the whole time she should, like I said, be understanding that, you know, like, whatever, right off the jump. But so the slow speed, it goes like that, you know, hang out, maybe don't see each other till later on, bring more of it later on till the end of the night or till, you know, a date or whatever the situation is. Then there's more of like more, I would say, the regular pace, which is go up. They know that what you're there for. You know, you meet them. This is assuming we're at a bar or a club, whatever. They know what you're there for. You guys hang out, talk a little bit, and see if you like each other. You know, if it's on, bring more. If she responds in turn and starts, you know, bringing that back and showing it back to you, you bring more. She shows more. Then it's time to leave the club. Then there's the third cut type, which is basically, you meet her at like 1, 2 in the morning, you know, you just say, hey, what's up? You might even just say, like, you know, sometimes girls will even come up to you and be like, hi, I like you. And you can just be like, let's make out, you know, or like whatever it is, you know, or like, let's leave right now. You could even, that's super fast, you know, that's a lot of intent. That's 100% intent right there, you know.
All right, now, attraction. You know, new guys always tell them, just assume attraction. Don't look for indicators of interest and all that crap. Yeah. But there's a point where a light switch goes on in a girl where she's, like, really deeply interested or attracted to you. Like, she wants to bang or make out at least.
Yeah.
Getting that light switch turned on is a little bit of an art. And can you explain what goes on? What do you think are the prerequisites to having that happen?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's actually a really great thing, especially for a newbie guy, you know, to... I know, as me as a newbie, when you say, walk up to that girl and get her attracted to you, I'd be like, what the fuck, you, what? What? Might as well just ask me to, like, dismantle, an atom bomb, you know? I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? For me, it comes down to a lot of things. So, you already kind of laid the groundwork. Like I said before, for me, the approach starts before you even step to the girl. Like, in your head, you should already be like, all right, like, this girl looks great, this is awesome, and I'm going to be fully expressive, and she's going to love me for it because I know who I am. I know what my values are. So in your head, you're already excited to walk up to her. So you're just radiating that positive energy. And then you want to make very, very strong eye contact. And, you know, that's something that is kind of taken for granted. It's like an obvious thing, but almost to the point where it's creepy. You know, like, you just go up and, like, not like stalker, not like your eyes are big, but you just hold eye contact. And you talk with a very resonant voice. That's also very, very important because, you know, your tonality is going to dictate a lot of how she's looking at you and how she reacts. You know, you want to come in with a very, very resonant voice, very loud. You know, she should be able to hear you over the music, and it should be in, you know, that what's called breaking rapport tonality, which is when your tonality slopes downward. Sure, it'd be like you're not like you would like. So this would not be breaking rapport. It'd be like, hey, what's going on? What are you guys up to tonight? It'd be like, hey, what's up? What's going on tonight? You know, like smile on your face. That's another thing too. Like, you know, you have a smile on your face, you have that good feeling, but at the same time, you have a very, very dominant tonality. So you walk up like that. So now at this point, what you're going to say really doesn't matter. And for me, I don't like going up with any kind of like pre-planned lines or whatever. You know, I have a couple things like you tell me all weekend. I like to go up to girls sometimes in bars and be like, what is this? Book it everywhere for you. Like, this is ridiculous. And then, see, what I like about that is a lot of times they'll think they already know you, which is great because they already like, then they're like, oh, like, wait, do I know you? And you're like, not at all. You know? But so you already have this funny vibe, and they see that you're like a funny guy. You're not taking this too seriously. This isn't like life or death. And what's nice thing about that is the girl can feel like she can just blow you off at any moment, and you're not gonna run away with your tail in between your legs and cry. And that's really important for girls. It's great. Like, you know, it sounds like a ridiculous thing, but that really gives that girl that social freedom to really judge you as a man and really to like, you know, you're taking the kitty gloves off. You're not being a fucking bitch, and you know, you're not walking up like a bitch and being like, hey, I really had to meet you, and I thought you were beautiful. And I'd like to take you on an extravagant date, please. You know, you're just like, yeah, hey, like I'm looking everywhere for you. This is fucking ridiculous. What are you doing? Why'd you wear this dress? You look adorable. And now I had to come over here and meet you. Like, this is absurd. You know, and then, like I said, like, so that you know, for the first 10 seconds, you know, you're making that strong eye contact, you know, like your voice is resonant. That's going to really spark that initial attraction where she's going to be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to take this guy seriously. And I'm going to, you know, give this guy my time. I'm going to give this guy, you know, I'm going to, you know, be expressive back to this guy and be real with this guy because this guy's being real with me. He's not being a fucking bitch with routines and everything else.
All right, well, I mean, honestly, what I do to, like you said, to, like, get girls, quote-unquote, attracted or whatever, is I just be myself. You know, I mean, that sounds easier said than done. You know, and it sounds, like, it sounds arrogant, but, I mean, it's not. It's just, the fact is, like, I'm in touch with who I am, and that in itself is attractive, you know? So I just go up, meet people, let them know exactly who I am off the bat, like I said. You know, and that's what I teach other people how to do. I don't teach guys, like, tricks to get girls, you know what I mean? Teach them how to be themselves, put that on the line, and understand how that is the most attractive thing you can do. Like, you really don't run into people very often who are so in touch with who they are and know how to express it to other people. That in itself is rare and attractive. Be, like, everyone can do that. You know, there's really no reason to do anything else than be yourself. That sounds so lame, but also think about it. Like, think about when you talk to girls, they're always just like, I wish you would just be himself. You know what I mean? Like, but guys don't know how. You know what I mean? They don't know it's okay to actually be themselves. And that's just, it's a problem of hiding behind the ego, my friends.
Now, let's move on to managing multiple long-term relationships, taking something like a same-night lay and putting it into MLTR, or how do you create that frame for a girl, dominate so that she doesn't try to pull it away into something you don't want it.
All right, yeah, that's actually really interesting, and this is something. This is great. Because this is funny. This is something I've been thinking about, and I've been seeing a lot more of lately, just because I've been having more exposure to both the same night polls, the polls I get on with girls with dates, and the girls I'm kind of in long term relationships with. You know, I have a couple right now, which is funny because, you know, there's this like stereotype that women are are like kind of the more emotional gender, that they're the ones that like pine over guys, and I think there's some validity to that. But I do think that there are a lot of girls just go out and they just want to have one night stands with guys and want to have sex, and those are not guys that they're necessarily looking to get into relationships with. That like literally like they want to have fun for one night and they'll bang a guy one night, and you know, whatever, and that's it to them. But there are also, you know, a lot of girls that, like, when you can take them home the first night you meet them, that's a very attractive quality to them. A guy that can do that, it's very, very masculine, it's very attractive, and that is someone that they want to keep around, they want to keep seeing. So, on the one hand, you know, when guys, if you have a, you know, a one-night stand with a girl, and it's great, and, you know, and whatever, if something happens, like, later on, like, don't necessarily take that too seriously, you know, somebody's like I said, like, she got played, which is not the worst thing in the world, but, you know, like I said, like, there is, you know, it's not necessarily the stereotype that just, you know, that the guys are the cold-hearted players, and that girls are, like, these, like, you know, innocent, you know, just, like, they're just always getting played. Like, girls have an agenda, too, and I think that's great, and that's, like, a really cool thing at the time of living in.
Yeah, it's just people are people. You know, for every guy you meet out there, there's the girl who's his equal on the other side doing something else. You know, for every girl that's doing something, there's a guy that's doing something. This is not like a guys versus girls thing. It's just people in general.
Yeah, like, play is play. Play is play. But in terms of the multiple long-term relationships that I'm in right now, I'm trying to think about the different girls I'm dating. I mean, one of them, the one I'm seeing tonight, was a girl I pulled probably in about an hour. I met her at a club, met her at a bar on a Thursday night and pulled her. And this was about 5 months ago. So I haven't seen this girl for about 5 months. And she's an awesome girl. I'm so glad that it went down the way it did. And, you know, she was the kind of girl that probably if I hadn't pulled her out at night, I would have never heard from her again. You know, she wanted that masculine guy. That's what she respects me for. And then, you know, I'm seeing other girls that when I went on, you know, one or two dates before, you know, we had sex. And, you know, eventually we transitioned that into a multiple long-term relationship. But in terms of keeping it to the point where, you know, first of all, these girls should know that you're seeing other people. Like, you know, you should be very, very honest up front. You don't necessarily have to tell them, like, oh, yeah, I'm a player and I'm seeing all these girls. But, you know, you should be pretty, you know, pretty honest about what you're doing. You shouldn't, you know, tell a girl that you're in a committed relationship with her when you're seeing other girls behind her back. Like, that's just not something you should be doing. Also, too, I hate to say it, but you probably shouldn't be going out with these girls too much on the weekends. Weekends, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday really should be days reserved for meeting other girls if you're, like, really, you know, or hanging out with friends, like, whatever you want to do. But, yeah, once you start hanging out with a girl on a weekend, she's going to start thinking it's a little more serious than it is. You know, weekdays are great. Yeah, I mean, and this is a problem that actually Simon just ran into. One of his, he can talk about himself. But, and also, you know, always keep it fun. Always, like, take them, you know, don't ever just slack. Don't just do the, oh, just come over, we'll watch a movie and have sex. Don't treat her like a piece of ass. Like, I think that's awful when guys just call girls, you know, randomly, you know, at 2 a.m., oh, I'm coming over, blah, blah, blah. Which some girls, I mean, like, that's the relationship you have. I guess that would be, like, the true fuck buddy relationship. But I'm not really into that. I really, like I said, like, the half of this for me is really getting to know someone. And like I said, like the girls I'm with, I think are just amazing girls, are people I want to spend time with. So like, I want to put that investment in. So I don't necessarily have to take them on extravagant dates, but I do like to put a little pre-planning into what we do, make sure it's fun for both of us, make sure to keep that spark, that chemistry alive, and also just keep bringing what attracted them in the beginning, that masculine full intent. Like, you know, I don't sit there and talk about, like, you know, things that upset me about my day or, like, any kind of topics that, like, if I wouldn't talk about it on, like, a first date with a girl, I'm not going to talk about it on a 10th date with a girl. Like, I always want to make sure to keep, you know, that I'm still that fun guy that she liked from the beginning and that she decided, like, yeah, this is the guy I want to sleep with. Simon, why don't you, because you have you're juggling a couple girls right now, why don't you talk about what you do?
So that was all pretty solid, though. I would agree with that. I think that in terms of managing, you have to set the precedent right from the beginning. Just like, you know, letting her know you like her, you have to let her know that you're also not about to be in a committed relationship if you aren't, you know? But that being said, you don't have to tell her don't tell her all the details about what you go out and do, you know? Just understand, let it be known that, you know, you're free to do what you want, she's free to do what she wants, you know? And it is what it is, you're adults. But that being said, you have to set it right from the jump. Like Rob said, you know, you can't really be hanging out too much with them on the weekends. Otherwise, they start thinking that you guys are boyfriend, girlfriend. You know, I kind of had this issue, and it's tough when you really like a girl. But the fact of the matter is, like, it's just not, you know, something that you're looking for at that time. But Yeah, you like exactly like Rob said. Every time I hang out with like a girl that I'm seeing, it's just like the first time I hung out with her. You know, I don't change. I'm not a different person. And the reason that I'm able to do that and Rob's able to do that is because we are ourselves from the start. So we're ourselves the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, 50th time we hang out. We're the same guy every time. You know, we don't change. That's what it is that's so cool about hanging out with Rob, you know, when you first meet him. Like, he's who he is when you meet him. He's who he is when you've known him for 10 years, you know. And that's what it is that keeps that going. So it's one, getting in touch with yourself and bringing it from the start, setting the precedent. Two, making sure, like Rob said, to keep it fresh. You know, you always want to, like, be the fun guy that, and she will remember exactly what it is she likes about you every time you hang out.
Seems like you're walking the fence a little bit, bringing romance into these relationships. Do you tell them you love them? Is there all that lovey-dovey cherishing stuff going on?
No, absolutely not. Like, you know, I'm not going to tell a girl I love her if I don't. And I think that L word is really, like, weird, awkward, you know. So that's just something that's just completely, you know, I'll joke around and say, like that story I told, oh, we haven't fallen in love yet, blah, blah, blah. But if I, you know, if I were to, you know, hang out with that girl again, I wouldn't tell her, like, I wouldn't be like, so we're falling in love, aren't we? You know? But then again, also, too, I think I'm like an artsy guy. I like romance. I think romance is great. So on the other hand, I think doing romantic dates are great. I love cooking for girls, candlelight dinners. You know, I don't know. You can look at my blog. I have a whole what I call the romantic supernova. You know, so yeah, I guess it is a fine line, but you don't want to. Like I said, I'm honest. Like, I tell girls, like, oh, I like romance. Like, you know, I even like reading. You know, I read Jane Austen novels. Like, you know, I this is stuff I like. Like I think the poetics and the mechanics of courtship and romance, I think it's great. And I think it's a lot of fun. It's exciting for both sexes. And, you know, like I said, I want to give a girl that romance without necessarily leading her on into, like, that, like, oh, yeah, I'm falling in love with you or whatever. But on the other hand, too, I'm never shutting the door from meeting that girl that I am going to fall in love with and I'm going to be, like, exclusive with. And when I am, it'll be great because I actually can be exclusive with that girl because I already know, you know, because it'll be my choice. It's not like I'm falling into a relationship. Like, that idea of falling in love, like, I like that phrase because I think that's what happens to a lot of guys. They fall into it. Like, they don't choose it. Like, I think you have to choose love. You have to, like, get to the point where you develop yourself to a point that, like, you know yourself so well and you know what you can get and you know what you can do. And then when you meet that girl, it's a conscious choice where you drop everything else and just concentrate on her exclusively. So that's kind of my opinion on romance. I actually have a lot of ideas on that, but I don't want to, you know, this wouldn't be applicable at all to like pick up and whatever else. It's just like more like academic stuff. But how about you, Simon? What do you think?
No, I think that's all pretty solid with the one caveat that like any girl that I do hang out with that much, I really do love. And that's the problem. Like I love all girls, you know, like for something like all – I've never really met a girl that I haven't loved in one way or another. You know, they're the fairer sex for a reason. You know, like, it's just there's always great stuff about them that's, you know, I guess none of this is really applicable to pickup or managing long-term relationships except for the fact that, you know – No, you should just probably describe all this, actually.
It's a mindset. I think it's good.
Yeah?
You know, it's a mindset that I really think that guys should have.
Well, I mean, but I think it's important, but I don't think most guys that get into this are even interested in any of this. You know?
Yeah, you know what, dude? You'd be surprised. I told you. Like, I already said it.
Should I go back and, like, start talking about it again?
If you want.
Just leave all this. Just leave all this. This is really
candid. All right, fine. Next question. Whatever. You got the exclusive, bitches.
All right.
That's
how we roll. So let's talk about last question. New York City. I'm in New York, if you didn't get that. From the baby screaming outside the window and whatnot.
Yeah.
Besides the embarrassment of great food and culture and art, the women here are unbelievable and they're everywhere. And so tell me the pros and cons of gaming in New York.
All right, well, in my opinion, New York, for a guy learning game, aside from maybe Vegas, this is the best city to learn in, and for a couple of reasons. One is, the bars stay open until 4 a.m., so you could stay out basically all night. So this is the extra time you have to meet just so many girls, and so, you know, a lot of the pickups that go down, a lot of them, they happen at like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know? which is so cool that you have the extra time. I mean, the best thing about New York is the women are everywhere, and they're just beautiful, and they're cultured, and they're intelligent, and a lot of them have, like, really cool jobs. Like, I've dated girls, you know, with, like, just, like, really, really cool jobs, like, stuff that like, I didn't even know existed. You get brought into a lot of different subcultures, a lot of different things that, you know, they'll turn you on to, like, different restaurants, different types of food. So that, in terms of the culture and stuff, that is great. In terms of the things that I don't like about New York and what I liked about other cities is the venues in New York are very exclusive. Like, we ran into a problem last night. We tried to get a lot of guys. A lot of guys came from we did a free seminar, and we took a bunch of guys out afterwards, and we couldn't get into this club because there was too many dudes. And that happens a lot. You know, these club owners, they want to make money. They want their clubs to be cool, and, you know, let in, you know, 20 guys who aren't buying bottles isn't necessarily the coolest thing in the world. So that's problematic. Also, the clubs, when you do get in, they're very crowded. It's very hard to you know, finding places to isolate. You have to get kind of creative, which is great. You know, just get creative. You know, there's dark corners. There's hallways. There's places you can find, but it's not as easy as probably a guy who's gaming somewhere out in, you know, these kind of big venues I've been to. Like, when I go back to Long Island, where I'm from, it's cool because the venues there are very, very big, and there's a lot of places to you know, bring the girls and isolate and really talk and where it's quieter. You know, things are expensive in New York. The guys are chodes in New York. You know, if you come to New York, you'll see some of probably the worst game you'll ever see in your life. Like, you'll see guys that are just clueless, just do dumb shit. It's actually really funny. What else about New York do I want to say? A lot of great day two spots, too. A lot of great places to go on dates. Same nights are great because, you know, New York, it's a small island. You know, it's only like 22 miles long. So, you know, if you're in a bar in the East Village and for me to go back to my apartment, it only takes, you know, like 5 minutes. It's only a 5-minute cab ride. You know, you just jump in a cab. You don't have to worry about finding your car, you know, going through all that bullshit. So that, in terms of the SNLs, I think that New York is great because, you know, everything is just so close, it's so local, and the, you know, proximity is just, it works in your favor every time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for every positive in New York, there's a negative. You know, I mean, I love it. The women are gorgeous; they're everywhere. My favorite pro of New York is potential for day game. It is huge because, you know, let's be honest. I mean, it's fun to go out and party at the bars and clubs or whatever. But, I mean, if you really want to meet a girl that you're going to probably like and want to date, you know, you can really narrow it down. Like, you know you like girls that are healthy and do yoga, you know, you can go meet them, go to join a new yoga studio and meet them there. You know, you could go to Whole Foods, shop, meet girls while you know, shop for healthy food that you enjoy. So, like, it just provides so many, like Rob said, like the subcultures here that you could meet. I've learned about things just from dating girls that I never would have experienced. Like, just shocking stuff. Like, one girl was telling me about how she participated in Native American, like rite of passages, you know, where they take, like, peyote, and they all sit around, and it's legal because it's, you know, religious. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, wow, like, this girl has some wild experiences that I probably never would have gotten if I hadn't, you know, met her. But, like, the clubs, like Rob said, I mean, yeah, they're small. They're pretty much designed around selling bottles. So, you know, there's not much room to really mingle and meet people. But that being said, there are gorgeous women there. And, you know, it can happen. There's no, you know, you just got, like you said, you just got to get a little more creative. But New York, logistics, excellent. Cabs everywhere. Don't think. Food everywhere. You know, always something really exciting to go try, do, find. Great date spots. It's great. It's fantastic. I wouldn't rather do this anywhere, to be honest. Not a chance.
No, I'm envious. Everything's spread out in LA. So that's it. I'm going to wrap it up. If you want more information, go to my site, poafieldguide.com, or your site.
My blog is robjudge, robjudge, for those that are spelling, not great spellers. Yeah, I'm actually an awful speller, so yeah, I got love for those guys. Check that out. You know, I put some blog posts up. We have, on the sidebar, there's links to everything. There's links to our forum, our podcast, which we give away for free. Also, a lot of our writing, a lot of our early writings from when we did our 30-day challenge, from pretty much everything. We're working right now on putting together a manual that we're going to give away for free. It's going to be like a PDF book. It's basically a lot of what we cover off on our live programs. We're also working on a book. And obviously, you know, if you're in the area, we do live programs every weekend. So, you know, definitely get in contact with us if you're interested in coming on program and really going into a lot more depth of a lot of what we're talking about today. Simon, you want to give your contact info?
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Facebook, just Golden Child. Look for the Rockstar logo. or you can see me over at my blog, goldenlifeofsimon.blogspot.com. We're about to put up a new site for a whole bunch of like streaming video and audio stuff. But, you know, all those updates will be through Facebook and through our blogs. We'll let you know where that stuff's going to be at.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, awesome.